Our psalm reading this morning is Psalm 67. Listen to the word of the Lord. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. This is the word of the Lord. Now, as we prepare to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Lord, thank you for gathering us together in your name. We pray now as we hear your word that you will inspire us, open our hearts and our minds. And we pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. It's interesting how the lectionary takes us back and forth from one side of Jesus' resurrection to another. This morning in the Gospel of John, we are now back before Jesus' arrest and Jesus speaking to his disciples. So here now, John 14, verses 23 through 29. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, 'I am going away, and I am coming back to you.' If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so when it does happen, you will believe." This is the word of the Lord. I like to think of them as those peaceful moments in my life when all seems right with the world, when a sense of calm fills your heart and mind, when you're not stressed about everything you have to do or everything that's going on in your life. Peaceful moments that sometimes come at odd times and in odd places. Maybe it's watching a child playing cheerfully with a toy. Maybe it's watching the clouds float by in the sky. Peaceful moments that are sometimes few and far between. Peaceful moments that are shattered when a child's toys are scattered across the floor in frustration. Peaceful moments that are shattered when those white clouds become storm clouds and you wonder whether or not your crop will remain. Back to reality. The stress and demands of life, everything you have to do, it can be overwhelming at times. It can find you lying awake at night and stressed out during your days. So where do you get away from all of this stress? Too often, people go to the wrong places. They look for peace in all of the wrong places. Maybe a shopping spree will help you feel better. Too often, these things that leave people feeling even more shame and guilt and regret. So where can you go for peace? Well, dear friends, of course, we all know, as Jesus has told us, Jesus gives us that peace. It won't be found in this world. It can only be found in Jesus. Well, as is often the case, when a passage such as this, which is so rich and complex, sometimes it helps to focus on one key verse or phrase that gives you insight into the rest of the passage. Or in this case, I was struck by two interconnected verses. The first is this: "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." Peace. I can feel my whole body almost sigh with relief and expectation when I hear Jesus say that word. But why? How do we understand peace? And what do we imagine Jesus means? Too often, I think, we think of peace as simply the cessation of conflict. And clearly, an end to violence is a good thing. Many of us have prayed for peace in the world, or peace in some way that is very personal to us. But I think the peace that Jesus offers is more than the absence of something negative. Indeed, I think it has its own presence and gravity. When someone reports feeling at peace, for instance, he or she is reporting more than absence of conflict, but instead testifies to a sense of wholeness, even rightness, peace within one's very being. It's a sense of harmony with those persons and things around us. Peace connotes a sense of contentment, but even more, a sense of fulfillment, a sense that in this moment, one is basking in God's pleasure. Shalom. And that can come even amidst hardship, even amidst struggle and conflict and disruption in our lives. We can still feel that inner peace. Now think again of the timing of Jesus' promise. It's right at the night of his betrayal, the evening when he will be handed over to those who hate him and who will take him away to be executed. And yet in that moment, he not only senses peace, but he offers it to his disciples. This peace is a gift of God, something we sense most keenly when we give over to God a certain amount of control of all of the things that we worry about or that normally we would fret about. Not that we surrender responsibility, but rather that we recognize there are limits to what we can affect and what we can control, limits to what we can achieve on our own. And when we are able to sense those limits and place ourselves, our loved ones, our fortunes, and our future into God's hands, then indeed we are experiencing the peace that Jesus offers us. It's a peace that allows us to lift our gaze from the troubles that beset us and see those around us as gifts of God worthy of our love and our attention. And that then brings us to the second element of this passage, really the second half of this verse. He says, "I do not give you as the world gives." Now indeed, one might wonder if the world gives at all. All too often, the rules of the world are that you have to earn anything which is worthwhile. You need to look out for yourself, and there is simply not enough to go around, that one is in a constant competition with all others for scarce resources. And if you're not sure that this is the message of the world, just listen to political ads or to the commercial advertising going around these days. Peace, from this perspective, is at best a break, a moment of rest, a brief lull in the fray of everyday life and the constant need to compete, secure, hoard, and protect. But Jesus gives differently than the world. Jesus gives freely, with no expectation of anything in return, only the hope that by being transformed by this peace, we might pass it on, giving others the gift that we have received. Most of you, I'm sure, have attended a church where there is a moment in the service where we pass the peace. We pass the peace, and in some settings that amounts to little more than a well-intended and churchly good morning, while in others it is a more heartfelt event and greeting. But I wonder how often we really sense the depth of God's gift of peace, the promise that no matter what happens, God will not abandon us, but is always working for our good and through us for the good of our neighbor and for the world. How often do we feel caught up in and by God's peace? The promise that God loves us more than anything and will hold on to us through all that may come. How often do we sense God's deep purpose that we not only experience this peace, but we also share it with others? Perhaps the opportunity before us this week is to ask how many people need, crave, or covet this kind of peace. How often have we sought it only to find it rather elusive? And how often have we accepted what the world offers as peace, only to discover that it was a counterfeit promise? Having asked these questions, then we can move to declare that God's peace isn't something that we can seek or grasp, but only something that we can receive. That only as we release our grip on the many things we are trying to hold on to, can we receive God's gift of peace. And then we can share with others that even in those moments when we are convinced that it's all up to us, God is there offering us His peace, a gift that the world cannot give. So with all of that in mind, we should allow ourselves to bask for a moment in God's pleasure, in the confidence that God loves us and wants to use us for good, and then to turn and bless those around us with that same gift, saying simply and meaningfully, "The peace of Christ be with you." Jesus gives us peace in a way that no other can. And perhaps this week we will receive it anew and share it with all of those who we encounter, not only in this sanctuary, but beyond the walls of this church. The peace of Jesus is yours as a totally free gift. It doesn't depend on how well world powers or earthly families and friends are getting along. It cannot be dampened by deceitful words or hurt feelings. It isn't affected when things don't always go the way that you want them to. That's what makes the peace of Jesus so amazing, so divine, so worthy of our time and our attention. And that's why Paul writes, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Yes, let the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts by letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And don't be surprised when more of those peaceful moments in life come your way. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we do bow humbly before you. We thank you for all of the many blessings that we receive from you on a daily basis. Especially, Lord, we thank you for your peace. On this Memorial Day weekend, on this Sabbath day, we do acknowledge, Lord, those who have died for our freedom. We acknowledge those who have gone before us, and we honor them, and we thank you, Lord, for the service that they have given on our behalf. Lord, we thank you for all of the ways that You enter into our lives to offer us the kind of peace that you promise us. Lord, today we do remember those who are graduating, those young people who are beginning new journeys into an uncertain world ahead. We pray that you will bless them and guide them, give them wisdom, give them courage to stand up for what is right and not to succumb to temptation that would lead them in wrong directions. Lord, we thank you for Jessica. We thank you for Justin. We pray that you will bless them and guide them as they go forward. And Lord, this morning, we do lift up to you those who are in need of your care and comfort. We lift up to you Sophia, little Sophia, who is facing medical procedures and uncertainty in her young life that seems so unfair. And yet, Lord, we can only turn to you and trust you. And so we pray for Sophia, we pray for your blessing upon her, we pray for her healing. And we pray that you will bless her family, her parents, and Skip and Marty as they are at her side. Lord, we lift up to you Joseph as he is facing another procedure. We are going to continue to pray him through this procedure because we know of your power. We just pray that you will bless him and give him peace and comfort as he goes forward with confidence. We lift up to you Tim Peters, Lord, as he heals from further surgery. We pray that his recovery will be swift and complete. We lift up to you the family of Evelyn Terman. We pray that you will give them comfort at her passing. Lord, we thank you for her life. And Lord, we also lift up to you Trom, someone who most of us in this congregation do not know, but she is a family member of those amongst us, and so we pray for her, and we pray, Lord, that you will bless her and heal her. Lord, all of this is prayed in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who promises us peace, but also the one who promises us eternal life. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.